What's up, everybody? Welcome to SWAT MMA, where we're smoking weed and talking mixed martial arts. My name is Jared. I'm here with Paul.
What up?
We're coming to you from the fight capital of the world, Las Vegas, Nevada. This is episode number 91, and today we're going to be smoking and talking all about the UFC, both a look back at the 258 card, a look ahead to the Lewis Blades heavyweight matchup. We're also going to be discussing the return of Bellator with some exciting tournament action coming from them, and we're also going to dip into boxing with Manny Pacquiao finally making some serious talk about returning to the ring, which hasn't seen him since 2019. Before we get into all of that, though, let's get started with our weed of the week.
Smoke weed every day.
What do we got today?
My friend who just injured his hand badly pre-show.
Drinking some water.
You need to smoke some marijuana to fix that up. We have got ice cream cake on the menu today, Paul. Ice cream cake is a cross of wedding cake and gelato number 33. Now, I'm going to break this down a little bit, dude, because I find this somewhat interesting the way that certain strains of cannabis can just be so prevalent within what you're smoking. And we've often talked about Girl Scout cookies on the show. I mean, it's such a popular strain.
Holy shit, I've never realized it was broken down this much.
Look at this. Between ice cream cake, look at the influence just of Girl Scout cookies in this strain. So ice cream cake is wedding cake crossed with gelato 33. Okay, let me hit this weed here real quick. Wedding cake breaks down to cherry pie crossed with Girl Scout cookies.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, that's tasty. Now, cherry pie is Durban Poison crossed with Granddaddy Purple. Durban Poison is one of the two main crosses in Girl Scout cookies. Girl Scout cookies is Durban Poison and OG Kush. Okay. Now, when you get into Granddaddy Purple, we start actually getting out of stuff into Big Bud and away from this whole lineage. So,
yeah.
We switch over to the Gelato 33. That is Sunset Sherbet crossed with Thin Mint Cookies. Thin Mint Cookies is a phenotype of Girl Scout cookies. Sunset Sherbet is Pink Panties crossed with Girl Scout cookies.
You can taste it. It's got that Girl Scout cookies taste. And the look, like the actual look of the buds, like it's like it's got that Girl Scout cookie with just like a little bit of purple in it.
Exactly. So you've got OG Kush and Durban Poison here, which we were talking about last week as well, being Durban Poison being the last or one of the last real remaining true sativas that are not crossed with anything. It's a pure breed. Those two things are so prevalent just between all these strains. We're talking about, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 different strains, and most of them are either Girl Scout cookies or related to Girl Scout cookies.
Yeah, I fuck with ice cream. Like, this strain in general, ice cream cake, I've had it a few times. It's literally, like, it's on my top 10.
Yeah, it's really tasty. There's no denying it. It's an indica, but it's not one that seems to make me very tired.
Yeah, isn't it indica dominant hybrid?
It is, yeah. So by these days, it's kind of loose. It's not, a pure indica, but I've never found it to really put me sleepy. A lot of indicas do, but it's actually not. There's a little bit more to it. You know, people are familiar with the kind of the sativas give you a more energetic high, and indicas give you more of a body high, or it can make you tired high.
Yeah.
But it's actually more to it than that. There's a terpene called myrcene inside of a lot of cannabis strains. And myrcene is the main factor in what makes you sleepy or giving you that couch lock feeling.
Yeah.
So the nice thing about going to dispensaries, of course, is at least in the states that I've been to, which is mainly Colorado and here, they break down the terpene content.
California, they do it too.
Yeah, so you can, if you want to, which I used to do all the time, which is simply avoid strains that have myrcene in them if you don't want to be feeling tired all the time.
Or if you're looking for something to put you to sleep.
There you go.
Look for something with a little bit more.
Look something with the heavy milligrams of myrcene in it. So it's a little bit that indicas just happen to have that particular terpene profile. A lot of them do, unless that the actual strain makes you sleepy. So little bit of knowledge on some terpenes for folks there. Unfortunately, if you don't live in a state with legal weed, good luck guessing what your terpenes are.
Yeah, that's one thing. It's kind of, it's always like one of my favorite things to do. It sounds weird. I don't know if other people do it. But when I find out whatever strain I have, I always like to look it up, like, on Leafy or one of those other websites where it's sure. like, oh, well, let's see how this breaks down. Because, and also, that's a good way of this is going to sound like a dickhead thing to say, but it's a good way to check whoever you're picking up from to see if they're giving you the real shit. Because always you get the photos, all that kind of shit. The obviously, like we were talking about, the terpene profile. And then your percentages, which is obviously no weed's always going to be exactly the same. That's why there's always like general averages when you talk about percentages of THC like and stuff like that.
Yeah, that has a lot more to do with your growth environment than it does the strain.
Yeah.
But when it comes to checking weed, there's a lot of cannabis that, yeah, it looks alike. But there's a lot that looks very distinctive
Well. And a lot like of Tropicana cookies looks...
100%.
You have to. It has to look the same. Like
you know, Tropicana cookies when you see it. Strains like Fire OG are named for the way they look, not the way that they taste.
Yeah.
So you can. That's another one. Yeah. You can, as soon as you Google it, you're like, oh shit. Okay, yeah, I got the right weed. Because that's what the strain looks like. And there's some blueberry has a very distinctive look to it. Gorilla Glue has a distinctive look to it. Mm-hmm. Weed is fun, man.
It's a good time.
We could spend this whole show talking about weed, Paul.
But
that's not what we do, actually.
Yeah, unfortunately. No, I'm just kidding. Fortunately, we got some fights to talk about today.
Oh, man. UFC back again.
Yep.
With another card. It's
a good card, I guess.
You know, it was exciting. What's that? Was top heavy again, but I feel, and by top heavy, I mean it felt like there was, the way the UFC breaks these things down, there's the early prelims with their main event, then the prelims with their main event, and then the main event with its main event.
I kind of disagree with this card. This card was weird. So, like...
Well, unfortunately, it lost a fight that was really going to add a lot to it, which is the Jim Miller fight. I thought that was going to...
And then Jim Miller-Bobby Green fight. Going back to that, they lost to Pedro Munhoz and...
Jimmy Rivera fight prior to
that. Which would have fucking strengthened it way more.
Yeah, this is a hard sell for me to shell out fucking $80 for this main card, but whatever.
But you know what really helped it out was kind of the performances. So, like, if you go back, like, one of the better fights on the card, I thought, was on the prelims where you had Diego Lima and Bilal Muhammad. I thought that probably should have gotten moved up to the main card. Ultimately.
This is what I don't understand. Like, does the UFC really think that they're bringing in extra viewers by making these, like,
that wasn't even the main event of the prelims, quote unquote, main event or something. That wasn't even the main event of the prelims, though. That was like the third fight in. That's what made no sense to me whatsoever. I was like, how is that even possible? Those are two guys that are like established UFC vets.
And
like,
they're good. They put on good shows. And Muhammad is, dude, that guy's an entertaining guy. Like, he could be a star. His social media is funny. He's good on a microphone.
And he doesn't give a fuck either. He will fight anybody.
Yeah.
He's been known, like, I think he was 11-0 in his second fight in the UFC. He took that Alan Joban fight on short notice. Like, those are the kind of things that he's been known for in his career. Like, he's always in every fight. And I just thought it was strange to have him that low on the prelims. And that's why I kind of disagree with this fight. I don't think it was top heavy. I think it was like bottom heavy, weak as, I mean, I don't want to be an asshole about it, but it's pretty weak in the middle of the card. Like, the fights after that in the prelims up to maybe the second or third fight on the main card, and then it got good at the end. So I felt like it was like kind of a wave of, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it was a good card. There were some good fights and there were some good performances. But as far as like talent and where it was distributed throughout the card, I thought it was off.
Interesting. Well, let's talk about that Diego Lima, Bilal Muhammad fight since you brought it up.
Yeah.
We see Muhammad get the win.
Mm-hmm.
It was a good fight.
It was a good fight. I think ultimately, you know, I think Muhammad's starting to show that he should be up there in the top 15 with wins like this. You know what
For sure.
I think it doesn't make any sense to me that he's not. I mean, welterweight's a tough division, but I still think he should be at least like 15.
Yeah, welterweight's tough, but he's legit. I expect him to hit the rankings this week if he hasn't already.
Yeah.
Honestly, I didn't check him. Maybe he has.
I never check the UFC.
I don't check him because I don't believe in him.
Yeah. But I'll see the rankings on fight night.
For the respect of a fighter, like, that he should be ranked.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
You know, and I think probably more legit sources like the USA Today MMA Junkie rating rankings might have him on there already. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
But I think the rankings should be a little bit more extensive, though. I think top 15 is kind of tough because, like, there's guys who you can clearly look at and know that they're, like, in the top 20 in the world. If they just moved it to 20, like, I feel like it would make sense because some guys aren't getting recognition that are still considered the top of the world, but because they're not in that top 15, people don't really keep an eye on them. Other than, like, me and you, who are, you know, we watch all the fights, so it's like...
If I remember right, boxing used to, like, one of my favorite things to do back when I was an amateur boxer was when the Ring magazine came, out of subscription, of course, is I would just bury my nose in their fucking rankings in the middle of that. Because, I mean, they're very famous for their rankings. It's to the point now where, I mean, when the Ring declares you a number one guy, it's they talk about it pre-fight and through, you know, in post-fight, et cetera. But I love digging into their rankings and just reading them and tracking them. And if I remember right, back in the day, they used to do 20, 25, or 30 in the magazine. Like you could go down.
Yeah. Well, that makes sense because ultimately that's what makes the sport fun.
Now, I don't know if they do that now. I haven't bought I'll be honest, I haven't bought a Ring magazine in fucking years or looked at the fucking rankings in one. But I don't know. But
yeah. Well,
I wish the UFC did that.
Well, that's the thing, too, is I feel like they think that they had to do that because of, you know, the marketability of the sport. But I think. It's a good thing for the sport because, like, standings in all sports is what makes it fun. It's always great to watch, like, college basketball where a team who's unranked takes down the number one team in the nation or, you know what I'm talking about, in college sports and stuff like that.
Bit of drama.
Tying this into the UFC this weekend, a guy like Hernandez, who's, you know, he's had ups and downs, came from the Contender Series. He's got a great
big
story.
Sub this weekend you're talking about, right? Yeah, yeah.
And then he comes in and subs. He's a blue belt in jiu-jitsu. He comes in and subs a black belt ADCC champion in freaking Rodolfo Fiera.
An undefeated in MMA.
Yeah. Pretty much knocks him out and then subs him, which is just fucking ridiculous.
It was amazing.
He was a plus 600 underdog or something like that?
He was a plus 600 underdog, and that was just for the straight win. Imagine what the odds were on
for him to
for
sub
a sub.
Him? Oh, my God. It had Get to be out, ridiculous. Man.
So, those things have so much extra weight when the general public and the general fan base can see a number beside it and know what the stakes are.
Yeah.
The number just makes stakes. Even we talk shit about the fucking UFC rankings, but they do add weight, to what's happening, irregardless of how, like, kind of bogus they might be assembled.
Yeah.
So I wish Bellator would get some rankings going on. It's kind of weird that they don't.
Yeah. Well, they
even in house. Like,
yeah. True.
How hard is it to go? I mean, we don't even know after all these years, and look how much we're involved in MMA. Can you name a single member of the quote-unquote MMA media that is on the UFC's rankings board or whatever you call it? Nobody can. Nobody knows who these people are.
Well, that's what's weird is, like, in other sports where they have ranking systems, it's usually, like, it's in, like, unbiased, like, third-party group of people that are doing these kind of things. Like, and then there's, like, a coaches poll. And then there's a media poll. Like, just talking back to college sports, there's media and coaches polls, and then they kind of divvy between those two what are ultimately, like, the ones that you're going to go by. I just feel like the UFC needs to do that more, you know?
And my point with that being Bellator, if the UFC, the biggest organization in the sport, can do it with a bunch of people we've never heard of being hardcore fans, then Bellator can certainly put something together with some members of the media as well and just copy the system and make a rankings. It's not like they have to expend a lot of money to do this. Yeah. I don't really understand it, but go on.
Ultimately, I just feel like having a group of people that are tied in to the UFC and then a group of people that aren't tied into the UFC is better for, like, the same thing you talked about with Bellator or any other organization in the sport should have those ranking systems in place because it makes everything more exciting.
Exactly. And getting back to this fight here with Bilal Muhammad, he definitely needs to be ranked after this weekend. And he needs to have some nothing against Lima. Solid fighter, but he needs to fight somebody here with a bigger name and a smaller number after
True.
And I think he can make a real dent here in the UFC's welterweight division. I think he's a legit contender, and I'd like to see what he does against some top level competition. Yeah. I believe he said he had some training camp problems as well, so he's still getting that going. He said he had to do a lot by himself, so imagine he gets some shit going behind him. You know?
Well, and he's in that area in Wisconsin, where who knows what's going on over there?
Right. It's who knows, but I think the future's pretty bright for Bilal Muhammad.
For sure.
And you should check out his social media.
Oh, he's
Instagram.
A great follow.
He's good. He's a great follow, man. He's a fucking hilarious. Funny guy.
Yeah.
So definitely entertaining fellow, bright future. Diego Lima, he is what it is.
Yeah, it's tough.
He's a good fighter.
He's a good fighter. He'll still get good fights.
Yeah, still good fights.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens.
Let's move up to the main card. So we had a couple of guys who were...
Well, hold on before we do that. You touched briefly on that submission.
Oh, yeah.
Let's talk about that fight real quick.
Yeah.
You know, we've got Hernandez, and explain to the folks who he was fighting again.
Rodolfo Fier.
Who is a highly decorated...
Sorry, not Fier. But I don't know how it's...
Well, we might be mispronouncing. No offense to anybody, but...
He's a highly decorated jiu-jitsu black belt.
ADCC champ. That's basically the top level that you can get in jiu-jitsu, professional, whatever you want to call it.
Undefeated in MMA, like we were talking about before.
Yeah, those are the world best. So he's the best in the world, undefeated in MMA. And he's fighting a late replacement fighter, right, who's off the Contender Series?
Contender Series. He's had some mixed results in the UFC, too. I believe he's 2-3 or 3-3 in the UFC, which, you know, it's tough.
Tough, right.
And then, story, he had a good story, too, like about, I mean, I don't know the exact.
Hernandez?
Yeah, like his dad passing away, like days before his Contender Series fight, and he told him he'd make the UFC. Wow. All this shit comes
That's
in,
tough.
Knocks okay. the dude out yeah. in the Contender Series, makes the UFC. He's won a couple, I think his last fight he lost to Randy Brown, I want to say.
Okay.
That might have been two fights ago. But he's had a couple good performances and just a small skid in the last couple ones. And for him to come back and win this fight on short notice is huge for him. Like, it's huge.
He was winning the fight on the feet.
Yeah.
Like, old boy gassed really bad. Yeah. Like, he was really tired. Like, midway through the first, I'm not sure why. I mean, he is a muscular guy. He was fighting. But he was really clearly gassed out. And he was getting pieced up on the feet. Hernandez
That's what's
was
strange,
it.
Too, with the smaller cage that he got gassed that quick.
Right. But then he takes him down, and we're all thinking, no,
what
no.
What are you doing? You fucking idiot.
Stand up, bro.
Get him up. What are you doing? And then he just fucking proved the whole world wrong, really.
Yeah, and then he chokes him out.
Yeah. Just fucking nuts.
Unbelievable.
Just fucking nuts.
Biggest upset of the year
I think
is
you gotta
what
move
that
his belt
be.
Up. For sure. He's
I think
gotta
you
be.
Do, too.
Like, he's got to move to his next belt, subbing a black belt as a blue belt. That's nuts.
And in a position like that, with all the pressure on, it's not like it was just some gym where everybody's fucking around. That was, he was fighting for all the marbles,
for
so
sure,
to speak.
For sure. Yeah.
And, man, that was just really impressive. I love it when a fighter can do something like that.
Yeah,
and get, you know, he may not get the big shine in the greater world of the sports community, but
the
MMA,
and
jiu-jitsu that
know
what happened.
What the fuck happened?
Good for him, man.
Yeah,
that's an excellent story,
yeah.
and he deserves some really kudos there. Like winning that fight everywhere he could, and then just the balls to go down and get that sub like that.
Crazy, yeah.
Yeah,
for sure.
That's going to wind up being. We're so early in the year. How is that not the upset of the year?
It's got to be.
I mean, how does that not hold up?
Well,
the way
I mean, shit, unless anything can happen. But anybody who's more than a +600 underdog winning
was
the fight,
+600, and by sub, that's just for the straight win. I would love to go back and find out what the odds were. As an example, like in the main event, which we'll discuss here in a bit, Gilbert Burns was a +225 on a straight win, which is all they talked about on the broadcast. Okay, but if you bet on him to win by decision, he was plus.
You say like 490 or something like that?
No, it was +690.
+690.
Okay, and you could also him by knockout was higher, you know.
Him by sub is probably
so. If you were to bet whatever this guy Hernandez, what his odds were to win by sub, I guarantee you they were probably like
up there.
I don't know, +2,000. It'd be something ridiculous.
Yeah,
because a decision in the main event's not that crazy. This guy beating the world champ
by submission.
Is nuts.
It's ridiculous.
I just wanted to touch on that and give Hernandez a shout out and just congratulations, man. That was a hell of a fucking victory.
Yeah, for
great
sure.
story.
For sure.
And now let's go up to that main card you was talking about.
Yeah, so moving on to the main card, we had a couple of prospects. Chael's boy Ricky Simon really put it on Brian Kelleher.
Fighting up at featherweight instead of bantamweight where he's typically at.
Yeah.
Which is interesting.
I think it's. Both guys were former bantamweights as well.
And they both seem like they're going to be going back down to bantamweight from what I heard pre-fight, too. I'm not
really?
Sure why it wound up being above weight,
was,
but whatever. Yeah. They both look good
Yeah, they
at
look,
the weight, I'm saying.
Yeah.
Ricky Simon looked real well.
Ricky Simon is someone to deal with, man.
He got that beat down.
Oh, yeah.
He was all over him from the minute that the bell rang in the opening round.
I think he outstruck him by like 40 or 50 strikes.
Yeah, he was like he was just no breathing room for Brian. Just nope. None.
Zero.
It was really an impressive victory. And, you know.
I think this ultimately just means Brian goes back to the shed, man, comes out. He doesn't lost. I don't feel like he's lost all his shine yet. Like,
no,
I still
he's a
think
good
he's,
fighter.
Still think yeah. he's in there.
This is just a beatdown, though. I mean, it was a competitive somewhat fight. I mean, he just couldn't do nothing. He was all over him from the get-go. Yeah. I hate to sound repetitive, but there's
I mean, a lack that's of descriptors ultimately what Chael's been talking about for, like, the last year or two, though, how he's one of those guys who'll just outwork everybody, and it showed.
Yeah, that really showed. A smothering pace. Absolutely smothering pace. Well, what about friend of the cannabis, Kelvin Gastelum, making a return? Up at 185 pounds, fighting a guy out of my home state, Denver, Colorado.
Ian Hunch.
Ian Hunch, who's, you know, he's a state champion wrestler in Colorado, which Colorado's pretty decent and tough state to do that in. You know, they're not any fucking slouches over there in the wrestling department. So, and he had talked pre-fight about how he was going to win this fight basically on his wrestling. And then Kelvin took him down six fucking times.
Kelvin's
and kicked his
a wrestler
ass.
Too, though. So yeah, they're both got wrestling background. So it's.
I think he was surprised at that. Kelvin gets the big win here. I thought he looked great. He did eat a monster knee.
Dude,
right?
That knee he ate made no. He almost
a
got
flying knee.
He almost got freaking what's it called? Also, he almost got Kimura'd in that first.
Yes,
round,
yeah, that wrist lock
was
tight, dude. That was very, very, very tight. I thought he might tap.
How about Kelvin's corner though? That shit was hilarious.
What's that?
You didn't see between rounds two and three. What is his name? Rafael Cordero. He's like, all right, Kelvin, it's time to stand with him. It's time for us to knock this motherfucker down.
Nice. You gotta love Cordero.
That shit was great. It was great. Which I think it was a good performance by Kelvin, but I don't think it was anything special. Like, I know a lot of people are giving him high praise for 30-27 performance and all that good stuff, but I'm sorry.
I disagree. I thought he looked great.
I think he should have walked through him, like, on a level of like, he needed to finish that fight, in my opinion.
Know. Ian Hunch is tough, dude.
He's a tough dude, man.
He's
a tough dude, but we've seen guys like Derek Brunson put way more of a beatdown on him. Guys like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I just felt like it was a good comeback fight for Kelvin, you know, for him to get his feet wet and get himself back in the win column.
I need
to see more of him in his next fight.
I'm
need
not saying
to see
he should
that.
Fight Adesanya again for the title next, yeah, yeah. But he needed a win. I mean, he openly talked about he thought he might be fighting for his job.
Yeah.
He's been on a little bit of a fucking downswing.
Yeah, I think he lost three in a row, right?
But he's nowhere near the end of his career, and he's chock full of talent.
Yeah.
And you're right, he probably could have had a more dominant win. This is the guy that lost a split decision to Adesanya after five rounds in a fight of the year performance, what, 18 months ago? You know, whatever.
That fight was... The finish of that fight was a little iffy.
Yeah, I mean, that's neither here nor there. We're just saying he's no slouch, and he's certainly not at the end of his career.
Well, yeah, no.
But I thought he looked very good. He did what he had to do. He got the win, and he showed a lot of grit. That chin he's got is still fucking solid.
Yeah, well, and I'm not saying it's not. Basically I'm saying is I just wanted to see a little bit more of what got him to that belt, what got him to the top of the division, a little bit more of that, you know, those big, you know, freaking bombs he used to throw. I just feel like he's been kind of tentative, even going back to the three losses he has. Like, obviously, the Adesanya fight, take it out of there because, you know, that was a war. But if you go back to that Till fight, Till was able to keep him at bay and keep him tentative and keep him, you know, from keeping the pace of the fight, which I thought was always his biggest thing. And I feel like in this fight, he did a little bit more of that. But he did it with his wrestling instead of his stand-up. I just want to see more of his stand-up is basically what I'm saying.
Well, we'll see what he gets next. It was important he got the win.
Welterweight's a short
honestly,
tank,
well, he's that was at 85.
I'm sorry,
85,
yeah middleweight, sorry.
Speaking of welterweight, I'll be honest, I still think he should be at welterweight. But...
I think that's hilarious, though, because like he hasn't fought at welterweight in like 5 years, but yet every single time he fights, you, me, Joe Rogan, the announce team, they all go, yeah, Kelvin, he's like, he could be a 70 and look great. It's like, hey, guys, he hasn't fought there in 5 fucking years.
Yeah, but the
I don't
only
think he's
reason.
Going back.
The only, dude, I love Kelvin. The only reason he had problems at welterweight is because he couldn't put them burritos down, man.
Yeah,
I mean, And it's a testament to what a great athlete and fighter he is that he's going in there with guys that are considerably larger. I mean, look, met the guy, stood next to the guy. I'm taller than he is.
Yeah.
And he's fighting. I mean, he's the guy that knocked out Michael fucking Bisping, for God's sake.
Yeah, true. Yeah, that was iffy, too.
It is what it is, man. We're not debating that right now. We're talking about his size for the division.
Yeah, no, I agree. The size is
I thought this was the best he looked physically for a while. He almost looked like he had a little muscle tone, even.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking shit. He's got that Cain Velasquez body, kind of.
Yeah, he does, yeah.
I just still think he could be a fucking beast at welterweight.
Here's the issue with him at 185. There's no easy fights from here.
No, not a single one.
So what
he's been in there with the champ.
What makes the most sense, though, for his next fight is like someone like Jared Cannonier, though. Like at
Cannonier, the former 205er. That's crazy, but yeah.
You know what I'm saying, though? Like, if you look at the division, they're kind of the only two without a fight right now that are coming off win or. Cannonier's coming off the loss to Whitaker, but
what is Cannonier? 6 feet tall?
Something like that.
Yeah.
Maybe 6'2" or 3", actually. But still, my point
Kelvin's
being...
Kelvin's 5'9" with a little pudge.
My point being is, like, when you're in this division, there's only people left to fight are, like, guys like maybe Till again, Marvin Vettori,
Vettori's huge.
Cannonier. I mean, like, these guys are going to... It's all uphill from here. Like, Ian Hines was probably the closest to his size in the division left he was going to fight. Even a guy like Shabazzian is way bigger than him. Derek Brunson is way bigger than him.
But
you know what I'm saying?
I want to make it clear, though. I've only remember seeing one case where size, in my opinion, really fucked him up in this division, and that was when he fought Chris Weidman.
I was going to say the same thing, Weidman.
And on the flip side of that, he nearly knocked Weidman out, too. He had Weidman fucking rocked before Weidman got that takedown. But once it was down, Weidman was so much bigger than him. It was like, wow, dude.
Well, the wrestling, there's levels too. You know, like he ultimately 100. Was just a better wrestler.
But other than that, I mean, he's been shining in this division. He's fought in for, like you said, 5 years. He's been on a little bit of a losing streak, but he's not losing because they're so much bigger.
Well, the question
this is just my opinion.
Weidman is still there, though. Right even on. Weidman is still in shot, like. Him and Weidman could possibly fight next.
And Weidman did, travel up to 205 for a minute.
For a little bit, but he found out real quick that was the wrong place.
You know, Kelvin has no business sitting anywhere. He can stay the fuck away from 205.
No, he's not going anywhere near 205. I don't think he's ever missed weight.
But I'm just saying that to highlight, again, the size difference. You're not going to see Weidman at 170, and you're never going to see Kelvin at 205. But these guys meet at 185, and one of them's noticeably bigger than the other.
Yeah.
So
I think him and Cannonier is probably the next fight.
Probably.
Or him and Shabazzian, maybe.
I hope he knocks Cannonier out. And I like Cannonier, too, but I'm just a big fan of Gastelum. He's a fucking cool dude.
If he does lose, I think Cannonier is going to go to 70. He was talking about it in the embedded.
Maybe lose so much weight going down there.
Dude, God, he said he doesn't cut weight for 85. So he walks around 85.
Good on him.
He weighed in at 184.5 in his last fight.
That's a trip. He's like the oversized version of like Kenny Florian when he was losing weight.
He's like
getting
fucking
smaller,
fighting
like,
Jose Aldo for the featherweight belt when he fought on Tough at 170.
Oh my god,
that shit is nuts.
Well, good on Kelvin getting a win, though. We might disagree about his overall performance, but either way, he gets a much needed W here.
Yeah, for sure.
And we'll see what's next on him. Back to the drawing board for Ian.
Yeah. Well. Then in the co-main event, we had a good fight.
It was Macy Barber
versus
Alexa Grasso at a 115-pound strawweight division.
25.
Was it 25?
Yeah.
Are they? Oh, yeah, I guess they're 25. Yeah, Macy's 25. 25.
They fought, yeah.
I didn't like that fight. I didn't like it at all.
I think it was Macy Barber coming back and not trusting herself.
And
until it was too late.
I'm just speaking on from a very personal perspective. The very first time that I had an official boxing fight, a match, whatever you want to call it. I did this thing where I was like throwing jabs and trying to measure from like way too fucking far away.
Yeah.
And then I throw a 1-2. From just way too far away, and it allowed my much more seasoned opponent.
She's the ultimate meme right now.
It allowed my way more seasoned opponent, who was like 8 years older than me and had like 50 fucking fights. It was a grown ass man. I was a 14-year-old.
Yeah.
To like easily see how I moved and then come in and beat the shit out of me. Like, And then I watched her, and it reminded me of that.
Yeah.
Like, just being an absolute newbie who didn't know what they were doing. I'm not saying that's what she is, but it's what she looked like. Like, you were, she was firing fucking shots from 6 feet away.
Yeah, it was weird.
It made no sense. And she did it through rounds one and two.
Yeah. And then in the third round, she finally just trusted her striking, stepped in, almost finishes her.
Right.
And, like, it's like, come on. Where was that in the first two rounds?
That was allowing Grasso to get her timing down and without being in any danger at all, to get her movements down, being in no danger, which is the same mistake I made, except that, dude, I was a kid in my first fight against a grown man as an amateur.
Barber's
only
22.
It was kind of to be expected. And it never happened again for me after that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I was like, oh, shit, okay.
Well, that's the thing is I feel like in that third round, she, like, finally woke up and was like, what am I doing?
Well, she knows better.
Yeah.
She's like, not a newbie like that.
Yeah,
she knows better.
She's like, what am I doing? And then started taking over, which was, it was just a little too late, you know?
Yeah.
It was, you know what, though? That was, what, her fourth or fifth fight in the UFC? Like, that's not that bad. Like, she's 22. Like,
no, she's got,
you know what
all
I mean?
Kinds
like,
of fight in her.
Like, yeah.
It's a
not,
learning process. She's young.
Yeah, I just
very
think
young.
It was a case of her mentally being not trusting her physical ability. You know what I mean? Like, an ACL tear is a really big injury.
Yeah.
And a lot of people don't believe in their body anymore after injuries like that. Happens all across the
world. You
might
tell yourself you believe, but
yeah,
you
but
might not
you,
have that deep down.
Yeah, there's
yet.
I mean,
it'll come
there's
back.
The trauma that came with that Roxanne fight. Let's just be honest. There was mental trauma that had to come from that. You're
of course
the fucking
it is. She completely
top,
overlooked
completely
Roxy.
Overlooked
yeah.
Roxanne. You're at the top of the world. You're talking about you're going to be the youngest champion, all that good shit. You know, and that's
and you
all
look
great
at
when you're knocking.
And she doesn't look intimidating. She seems like a dork.
Yeah.
Like,
well, and
Barbara
it's all great when you're
shit.
Winning, though.
Yeah.
When you're winning, all that shit's great. But then when you go into the first round of this fight, you tear your ACL in the first round, and you lose to someone you completely overlook, you don't trust yourself anymore.
Yeah, that makes sense.
You know what I'm saying?
That's
like,
what she looked like. She looked like,
she's looked like
she
didn't
she
trust
doing.
Herself anymore. She didn't trust in her abilities.
Well,
I think she
she'll be
needs
fine.
To get over that.
Yeah,
ultimately.
She'll likely be fine. It wasn't, you know, she did look good in the third round.
Yeah.
She could have maybe KO'd her.
Maybe. If she had, like, two more minutes, like, if she would have started that burst at 2.5 minutes of the second round and took her into the corner a little hurt and then moved into the third round and had her all 5 minutes of her kind of rocked, I think she maybe could have finished her. I just felt like it was a little too late. Like, she was rocked, but she wasn't rocked enough to where she couldn't survive for what? It was like a minute, 30 seconds left.
And she made another mistake in that situation right there, in my estimation, that I see other UFC fighters make too, is she when she was teeing off and she was going for those KOs, she's just sitting there throwing hook, left, right, hook, left, right, hook, left, right, hook.
Yeah, eventually they catch up.
Well, and those are pretty easy to slip, and it's like Grasso was wide open for uppercuts. If you would just shift to fucking angle and start throwing some uppercuts in there, she could have fucking slept her probably because everything was up high, and there's a big wide open thing in the
or
center.
Or gone to the body.
These guys, they're not boxers, so they're strikers, right? And Barber got in there. She did just you get excited and you want to throw hooks. They feel fucking powerful.
Yeah.
You know, a proper uppercut doesn't feel like a very powerful punch, but
it could be sometimes.
Oh, it's a deadly punch, but you know, it feels a lot better to fucking swing.
Yeah,
you know, especially when the adrenaline's going.
I think she should have gone a little bit more to the body.
A seasoned fighter can slip that shit pretty easy and get out of there and not get KO'd.
Yeah.
So I think if better shot selection would have saved her a bit there too.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, maybe Grasso doesn't go out to the uppercut, but it opens up once you start throwing some uppercuts in and some body shots and those hands fucking come down, then you can go back to your fucking hooks, you know, instead of just throwing 20 fucking hooks at somebody's head.
I just want to bring one point up real quick before we move on. Is me and you have a very similar feeling about this fight, but from an outside perspective, there's a lot of praise for this performance by Grasso, which I see sort of like, you know, any kind of win, you know, you deserve praise for. But I, in my estimation, I don't know, I don't really know how to word this, but I'm just trying to say that, like, ultimately people feel like this was more Alexa Grasso putting it on Macy Barber than Macy Barber not trusting herself. And I just didn't see that.
I didn't see that at all.
Yeah.
It's hard. I know what you're generally feeling, and it's hard to say it in a way that doesn't sound like a shitty.
Yeah, I just don't want to disrespect Alexa Grasso for, because she did get a win, and that's great for her career. That win is, ultimately, you know what I mean? For the division, she's in the mix now.
It's not her fault that she's being hyped up as much as she was and still sometimes is by UFC brass, who clearly is. They're desperate for a particular kind of star.
Yeah.
And they're willing to just throw that label on anybody in the hopes that that's the one.
Well, yeah.
And it doesn't always work out that way. And then they get the announcers team and others to go along with promoting this as being the next, big wherever star. What I mean? They want fucking Ngannou so they can run around and open up the African market more, right? Yeah. They want Alexa Grasso. Dana came out and said it. We want her to be the Mexican Ronda Rousey.
She said, originally he wanted her to, and then she had a few hiccups.
How about you just let her be a fighter?
Yeah,
And you quit putting all this pressure and hype so you can open up a fucking market to sell more pay-per-views in, you prick.
Yeah. Well, that's he's like, both. That's why he's upset with Yair Rodriguez, too. Those two
right,
were.
Right, because he got the same label. Oh, he's the next what? Oh, Mexican superstar. And then you had fucking the announcer team. They go along and they say things that are clearly ridiculous.
Yeah, it's just too early to call type
And it's
shit.
Too early to say that kind of shit. And there's no reason to say it unless the UFC, who they work for. This isn't like boxing announcers where they work for the network.
Yeah.
These guys work for the fucking UFC.
Yeah, it's true.
So when the UFC is like, call somebody this, they're like, okay.
Cool. Yeah.
So they're like, a pioneer and this and that, and they make somebody sound like.
Well, it's funny how they say pioneer, but the division's only been like two or 3 years old. So, if your opinion of a pioneer, the division makes no sense because a division that's 3 years old, there is no.
She's a talented fighter who's got a bright future, but they just need to stop some of the overhyping. And I think in the.
It hurts her.
Desire
ultimately.
To overhype, and now they're saying, it was just the masterful performance of a wizard.
Yeah.
No, it wasn't. It was okay, and Barber kind of let things
fight,
go.
Yeah.
Barber is raw. She still has a lot of talent, but she's still undisciplined. Mm-hmm. She made a lot of mistakes, in my estimation, and Grasso gets the win, but...
Yeah.
Let's slow down the hype machine a little bit and just let somebody...
Let somebody fight. shit.
Yep.
You're putting labels on the wrong people, because now we'll talk a little bit... Let's move to the main event, where... We
it's
saw.
Well, painful for me, man. I lost $100 on this damn bet. I was hurt.
It was a good fight, though. I don't really think that it hurt Gilbert's shine that much, man. He comes out, drops Usman early, kind of blew his load almost.
He got really fucking punch happy, KO excited after that, and
then Usman just used his jab, stayed out of
Usman
trouble,
recovered, and did what a champ does, and won.
Stops him 30 seconds into the third.
Oh, man, I was so excited.
It's a tale of two rounds.
KO'd him, man. It was plus 225 odds. For those of you that don't know Las Vegas, that means my little $100 ticket, if he would have simply just won, I would have turned in and got $325 back, which is a nice weekend.
Yeah.
I was very sad. I really thought he had it to win. I think he still might in the future, but I can't deny Usman looked incredible.
He looked great.
He took those shots and recovered like a champion. Yeah. I mean, that's real adversity. Mm-hmm. He was fucking rocked.
He was done.
And
I was
Burns
like, I was like,
piecing
what?
Him up after that. I was like, this shit's over.
Yeah.
So, nothing but praise for Kamaru Usman, first off.
Yeah.
Incredible performance. Mm-hmm. I disagree with the shine on Burns. I
don't know, man, because you got to look at that fight.
Cody Garbrandt was young and raw. He's saying he's trying to compare himself. I got like Cody Garbrandt. I'm crazy. Well, Garbrandt's young and raw. You're not.
It's an emotional fight, though. It's an emotional fight when you're talking about former training partners. The guys switched gyms. There was kind of that look. There was that weird stare off at the beginning where they didn't even touch gloves, which I thought was strange.
Burns went for the glove.
Yeah, and he was like, fuck you.
They had a couple of those in between rounds, too, where they just fucking stared.
It was just strange. It was strange. So it was just, and then, of course, the emotion from Burns after the fight in the cage was like, it was just like fucking painful to watch, man. He's sucking.
Dude, my wallet
balling.
Was hurting. Was he? I turned it off.
He was balling, dude. Like Khabib, final fight balling.
Really?
He was balling.
I missed all that.
And fucking Usman came and picked him up, and he was like, hey, man, blah, 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 blah. Like, the announce team was like, I wish I could hear what they were saying, but you could tell he was telling them, like, dude, good fight. But, you know.
He was crying. Huh? Yeah. Like Daniel Cormier crying?
Yeah. He did. Yeah. Yeah.
Did he come across like a bitch?
No.
Like Cormier did?
No,
or did
just
he come across
like,
just like a well of emotion?
No, it came across like that was the last fight he's ever fighting, which was strange. Like, it came off like it, like everything he ever worked for was just shit on, which ultimately it was. But you know what I'm saying? Like, it was, you could tell it hurt too that it was like his former training partner and all that shit.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm. Which, hey, here's the thing. When you're talking about that division, what I mean by he didn't lose any shine is I think he's still a fight away, two fights away from fighting Kamaru.
Well, he's an absolute beast. He's not at the end of his career. He can certainly get back to the title again. I agree all that. And I do agree that he got a little excited there.
He did.
It's just, it happens.
Well, that's what makes champions champions,
rock,
though. That's what makes champions champions, though. It's your ability to stand in there, to handle the adversity and come out on top.
Boy,
you know,
did Usman ever do that, man.
He
took
he's done
over, too. He's the man.
Yeah.
I disagree with this whole, the GOAT.
Hold on a second.
And this whole GSP comparison. We got to trot that out every time somebody wins a fight at this point.
Tough.
But, I mean, for the division that he's in at this point in time right now, I mean, he's the man by default by being the champ anyway, but I'm saying you're legit. Like, he's going to be the guy for a minute, I think. He looks very, very solid.
All right, here's my question to
good.
You, though. So, as far as the rankings of greatest welterweight champions of all time, would you put him over Tyron Woodley at this point?
No, I wouldn't put him even in there because Woodley's reign is over, so at least we can, and let's be honest, it doesn't look like he's going to get it back anytime soon. So we can kind of start to judge at least his title reign at this point a little bit. Because it's hard to do this for an active fighter, but Usman, well, it just circles back to the hype thing we were just talking about, because now he's the GOAT and the greatest. And they're talking about how he beat GSP's fights in a row record. He did, sort of.
Yeah.
I mean, he did.
A
lot of those for GSP also came in championship fights, did they not?
Yeah.
I mean, how long was GSP's title fight record? It wasn't
three. I think it
was
13.
My point.
Yeah.
Then now they're like, suddenly is he better than George St. Pierre? No, dude, he's in the middle of his career. You can't fucking talk about this shit. He's not the GOAT, the greatest of all time. No, he's the man in the division now.
Yeah.
And it looks like he'll be that fucking guy.
I think
for
that's the problem with the GOAT conversation.
But the UFC trusts it out, man.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, he's the best.
God. That's why it's tough. What the fuck would Joe Rogan said at the end of the fight? He goes, you hear what he said? He goes, if that man retired tomorrow, he'd be the greatest welterweight of all time.
Oh, stop.
That's
Joe.
What he said. That's what Joe said.
Stop.
I was like, ah.
No, he won't.
He will not. Sorry.
That's absurd.
I think he's one of the most talented welterweight champions of all time.
The
Sullivan I'll give him
short,
that.
Too.
I'll give him that. Like, maybe talent-wise and, like, skills and all that, maybe he's the most talented of all time, but I don't think he's... I don't think you can say you're the greatest of all time without having comparable achievements to...
Of course not.
...the former greatest of all time.
Of course not. When he... It's impossible, and it's just silly hype by
you know
Rogan.
What I hate?
And I get it. You're a hype man, I love the guy, but stop. Stop with the hype. He's not the greatest of all time.
He's
the fucking man.
Here's the problem with the conversation in MMA, and I think that we're running into this situation right now. We talked about this a little bit over the weekend, but I feel like MMA fans and the community, I mean, MMA Twitter's toxic as fuck to begin with, you know? You know, it's... Any kind of combat sport, it's going to be toxic. But I think we're running into an issue here with this sport. Is the older and older the UFC and MMA gets, the more and more I see people discrediting the fighters that made this sport what it is. You know, people look at guys like Chuck Liddell and they go, oh, if Chuck fought nowadays, he'd be fucked. He would have been knocked out so many times, never would have been champion, all that shit.
That's such a bullshit
argument. It's a bullshit argument. Same thing with Jones. People go, oh, well, Jones fought his competition to Khabib or George St. Pierre or people like that.
Because he fought guys like Rampage and
Yoga. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like they try to use guys like that and say that those guys were past their prime and blah, 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 blah. It's the same thing people do in basketball. To a guy like Bill Russell who won fucking the most championships ever and he was probably the most, you know. But everyone goes, well, he's playing in an era where there's nine teams and – you know, bunch of dudes, he's the biggest guy in the league, all that stuff. That's fucked up because you're discrediting all the great things he did. And you can translate to MMA when people go, well, Jones didn't fight the competition that a guy like Khabib's fighting now or a guy like Kamaru's fighting
these
now.
These guys are more talented.
All these guys are more well-rounded and talented and all this shit. And it's like, well, yeah, that's fine to say, but who's to say if you don't put John Jones – well, John Jones is in now and he's still dominant. But my point being is like, it's not his fault. You know, it's not these guys' fault. You know, they would evolve with the sport if they were in this era.
Well, that's the thing right there. They seem to think that
– it's recency bias, ultimately.
And that's an argument that sounds like it makes sense on the surface.
Yeah.
But then when you start to examine it really and dive down into it, it doesn't make any sense at all. Mm-hmm. Like you talk about Couture,
yeah,
or Liddell.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
even Tito Ortiz.
What do you mean if they fought the guys today? So if they took the guy at John Jones at his skill level fought Ortiz at his prime, would Jones win? Well, yeah, probably, because he's got a lot more information available to him.
Yeah.
But if Jones was back in the era of Liddell, it doesn't matter. They were the best of their era, fighting the best of their era with all of the skill that was there at the time. So it's not like they were fighting fucking chumps.
Yeah.
They were fighting the best available.
Mm-hmm.
And if Liddell was in this time, then he would have had all the same training that is available today and the wealth of more advanced knowledge, techniques available today. And his skill set would be different.
100%.
And so would all of his competitions.
Yeah.
So the argument doesn't hold up.
Mm-hmm. I hate that because that's what I feel like we're running into, though. Because every time a title fight happens in the last 2 years, we're talking about this guy's the greatest now. This guy's the greatest now. This guy's the greatest now. This guy's the greatest now.
Right.
Fucking pump the brakes a minute, man. Like, Jesus. Can't these guys just, like, in the same way we were talking about promotion a little bit with the younger guys, can't these guys fight their career? Max Holloway's been called the greatest featherweight of all time a million times. Like, the guy's fucking still 29 years old, 30 years old. He still has five to seven more years of his career.
Yeah, how about you let him,
the guy's career play out before you start going, he's the greatest, he's the greatest, they're the greatest, everyone's the greatest. It's like, fuck, man, everyone can't be the greatest. That's what the pound for pound rankings are for.
And if it diminishes it.
It does.
When you apply this label, like, as I guarantee you, if Volkanovski beats Ortega, somebody is going to be like, he's the greatest featherweight of all time.
Yeah. Pump the brakes.
Pump them.
Pump them.
Let these guys enjoy their achievements as they achieve them. Now, what you say is he is the champion.
He's
of
talented.
Right now.
Yeah.
He is the fucking man of the moment.
Yeah.
This is his time.
Yeah.
This is his fucking division.
Yep.
And people are going to have a hard time dethroning this motherfucker.
Yeah.
You celebrate what he's doing now, not
yeah.
the greatest of all his.
Because then people start nitpicking people's careers before they're even over.
They're not. Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. The greatest of all time is a conversation you have when the motherfuckers are retired.
Yeah.
And you have it versus other people that are retired.
Yeah.
And their achievements can be looked at comparatively.
Mm-hmm.
But nobody wants to do that. It's annoying as fuck. And the UFC seems to encourage it actively with their fucking announcers.
Mm-hmm. It's just strange.
It's bizarre.
I think Kamaru has the fucking... You know, he's got the
I think he's
talent.
Definitely, he's the greatest welterweight at the moment.
Yeah.
Until somebody comes along.
Yeah.
And even if he loses, he still might be the greatest overall at this moment, this currently fighting. We'll see. That's the point of the championship fights.
You know what's crazy about Kamaru Usman? And I think that, like, it's always been thought of as his weakness, but I think it's his biggest strength. Is, like, his physical, like, body. Like, people have always, like, shit-talked his, like, since he's wrestled his whole life, his knees are bad, all this shit. But, like, almost his weird hobble, like, weird fucking movement he does, like, is almost, like, what makes him good. It's, like, his timing is so weird. Like, you know what I mean? Because he, like, does this thing where, like, you can tell he's not the type of guy who's going to be doing spinning kicks and all that shit. Like sometimes he'll pull some random shit out. But he just grinds people with, like, this step in, step out, step around. Like, he doesn't do anything, like super flowy. But it's, like you know, it's, like, punch after punch. It's, like, you think it's coming, but it comes, like, a half second slow. So you drop your guard and he fucking
sticks you. He's got unusual timing.
Yeah.
Lots of pauses and jerks.
You saw it in the Colby fight, too. When he fought Colby, like, he was doing a lot of that leaning rather than moving. And he's so good at, like eating these strikes though, like, ultimately, like, even when he fought Woodley, like, even though Woodley didn't punch him, like, too much, even the shots he ate, all Woodley's best shots too.
Yeah, he's iron-chinned.
Colby's shots, he ate fucking Burns' best shot. The dude, like, physically is so fucking tough. I think that's why he's, like, such a good champion. It's like, he's just a tough motherfucker.
Well, let's talk about what's next for him. I mean, he's calling for a fight that I am not really a fan of.
Yeah, I don't think...
He's calling for George Masvidal, who...
Yeah, but you know why? I read a little bit into it. Because like,
he already kicked his ass once.
Yeah. Well, and ultimately, they want a fat check from Tuff, and then, like, Masvidal's running around saying, I fucking went 5 rounds with you easy without a training camp on 6 days notice, but it's like ultimately that's your fault, buddy. It was negotiations that fell through and all that
I
shit.
I think Masvidal versus Colby is the Makes fight to sense. Make yeah. this whole time. I don't think Masvidal wants that smoke, which shocks me to say.
Yeah.
But at some point I don't know how you deny it. But then again, in contrast to what I'm saying, if he winds up actually getting a title shot, he's coming off a loss still,
yeah,
isn't he?
To Kamaru, yeah.
He hasn't fought since then.
Yeah.
He actually gets a title shot off a loss.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I guess it worked. And he gets a season of Tough out of it, because that's what they're talking about, is Usman and Masvidal, which, again, I would much rather see Colby and Masvidal on Tough, please.
Yeah.
And then have them fight at the end. That's way better.
Yeah. I agree.
I mean... Fuck.
It's just dumb.
You're missing out.
Yeah. But. It's just stupid because also I feel like when you're talking about who really deserves a title shot right now, I don't really think Colby or him can really sit there and be like, I deserve a title shot. I think although Colby has a win since he lost against Kamaru, I still think neither guy can really like –
Now,
sit
Colby's
there
been
be
chasing
like,
Masvidal.
Yeah.
He hasn't even been calling for a title shot.
That's
He's
what,
been all
yeah,
about
no, but
chasing
I'm just saying,
Masvidal.
I know, I'm just saying, like, as far as who's next.
Yeah.
Like, I just don't think either guy can really be like, well, I should be fighting for the belt next. I should be fighting for the belt next. Like you said before, I think the fight that makes the most sense in the division is them two right now because there's no clarity on who the number one contender is.
We don't have a for sure announcement that it's going to be Masvidal and Usman on Tough. It's just it's being tossed out there in the air from... I don't know who where it's coming from, but
well, let's
it's
even
a legit...
dive a little bit deeper there. Then you had the Edwards and Chimaev fight fall out, and you got Dana coming out after the in the post fight press conference talking about he wants to do Colby and Leon now. Which I guess you can do that. It's a solid fight, but I'm just saying like fight. It just makes it seem like they're gonna go with the Masvidal Usman on Tough thing. Like it just makes.
With tying in exactly what we're saying.
I would even watch. I don't care who was on. I think it's going to be Usman and somebody on Tough.
Yeah.
Whether Colby Masvidal or Leon Edwards.
Yeah, Wonderboy out there calling for a title shot now. That was pretty recent. I'm not too against that either.
I was just
going
to say,
face.
I don't see why not.
I mean, if you're talking about giving a rematch to the guy whose ass was just kicked by the champ, albeit on short notice, it was still a beatdown.
Yeah.
And this is a guy.
And he's got a win over Masvidal.
Yeah. Yes, as you say, this is a guy who's beat Masvidal.
Yeah.
So.
Why not?
Why not that?
I think, like, it's funny to say because, you know, he's in the later stages of his career. I still think that Wonderboy is the one who's just, like, the wrench in the whole division.
Wonderboy is talented. He could still.
That's what
he
I'm
could
saying.
Still
like,
fuck somebody up.
Let's just be
Despite
honest.
He's
here.
Like 37 and goofy.
I think he's a bad matchup for Colby. I think he's a bad matchup for Leon. I think he's a bad matchup for Masvidal again. I think he's a bad matchup for all those guys. Just because, like, we've seen him fight high level wrestlers before and them just not be able to get to him because every time they try to close the distance, he's so quick in and out that he catches you on the way in. Circles away, and
dude, the only time he had trouble with those guys was when he first hit the UFC, and it wasn't much trouble. He got that shit under control. Like he's definitely the best in that division at fighting his style and remaining on his feet.
Yeah,
I like that matchup. Usman Wonderboy do it, but
why not?
We'll see what happens.
Leon, do the Colby Masvidal fight. Do Leon and Wonderboy. Usman, sit on the fucking sideline for a second, and let's see who really deserves a title shot. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. I think Usman wants to get paid.
He does. I can't blame a man for that, but I'm just saying, for the integrity of the division, those two fights should happen, and then the champ should sit a second and see what happens.
I agree with you, but before we move on to the next UFC or Bellator news, the problem with what you just said is you mentioned integrity and UFC... In sporting. We're talking about sporting integrity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Doesn't cool. happen. Well, you talked about it a second ago. Let's actually segue into some Bellator. So
Bellator with some...
Some big news. Huge announcements.
Yeah, they've been quiet. Yeah. They've been doing shit.
Yeah.
Nothing in 2021 yet. Coming back in April. I was like, damn, that sucks. April. Yeah. But then they dropped some bombs on us.
Drop some bombs on your moms.
Man. They're doing a fucking tourneys.
Yeah, a little light heavyweight tournament.
Yeah.
And starting on April 9th. You got Ryan Bader taking on Lyoto Machida.
I like that fight, too.
I do, actually, too. I mean, I think
Bader just lost that title. He did. You know that motherfucker wants it back.
But
he's
Machida's
mad.
Also, what, 42?
Machida's on the he's over the hill, but he's still Machida.
Coming off a loss.
And they fought in the UFC. Didn't Bader beat him in the UFC?
I think it was the other way around. I think Machida beat Bader.
It could be. But either way.
Yeah.
I like the fight.
I like the fight, too. Yeah.
What else we got in this opening round?
The co-main event, Corey Anderson, coming off his win against Melvin Manhoff, taking on a newcomer coming from, what was it?
It was a Russian promotion, ACD.
ACD or
something like that.
It's hard to say his first name, so let's just go with his last name. Yogshmadov. I don't know.
Yogshmadov?
Yeah.
I don't know
he's,
either.
He's under,
we'll find out.
He's 8-0 in his left. And he's an 8-0 champion from ACB, defended his title, headed over to Bellator. It's his first fight in Bellator.
Watch some footage of him knocking some dude out pretty quick in the biggest goddamn cage I've seen in
ever in my life. Yeah.
Good grief.
He's a Sambo guy, so you know he's going to be solid in the wrestling department. So I think this is an interesting fight. This is a good chance for Corey Anderson to make a statement. I think the Melvin Manhoff fight was good for him. But I think this is another launching point.
It could be tough for this
point.
Guy coming over, and the first fight you get is Corey Anderson.
That's a tough outing, yeah.
Dude, let's be real. Corey Anderson is legit.
Oh, yeah, as legit as it gets.
Like, Bellator does scoop up some UFC leftovers, so to speak, on fighters that may be a little bit past their peak.
Oh, yeah, no, Corey's
but
still
Corey Anderson
prime.
Is nowhere near his peak. He is smack dab in the middle of his prime and left the UFC ranked in their top five.
Yeah.
Like, he's fucking legit. This could be a very, very rough introduction to Bellator for this guy.
That's the thing is this whole tournament is filled with guys who are like fucking bangers who are ready. That's why I think they had to do this because there's so many good fighters in the division that have just been added in.
That and their lack of a ranking system that we talked about earlier.
Yeah,
this kind of sorts out.
Sorts it out. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. So then after that, we come back on April 16th. With the champ, Vladimir Nemkov, taking on Phil Davis for the second time. Their first fight came down to a one-round split decision. So,
and who won?
Nemkov.
Nemkov won a very close split decision
close
over Davis.
Close split decision over Davis.
All right.
I personally kind of thought Davis won.
Davis is another one that's nowhere near his prime. He's an absolutely...
I think he's... In the midst.
I don't mean in his prime. I mean near his he's not on
peak.
The...
Yeah, he could still be champion.
He's
again.
In his peak. That's what I'm trying to say. He's nowhere near the downside of his career.
Yeah, for sure.
He's a...
So, yeah, that's a tough fight. And then on that same night, we have probably the most exciting fight of the year coming up so far, I think.
Seriously.
Like, the most exciting
this fight.
I've ever been for a
man.
Fight. Got Anthony Rumble Johnson coming back, taking on Yoel Romero, which is just fucking fireworks, bro. Fireworks at 205. Like, come on. Yoel's going to look fucking huge, probably.
We've been talking about Yoel going to 205
for, a while,
for like a year on our show.
Yeah, he's been there before earlier in his career, but he's had some tough.
I mean, he's a guy who he's got a high number when you look at his age.
Yeah, he's a tough.
But he's...
He's a cyborg.
He's not your average man.
Yeah, no, not at all. Not
and he
at
left
all.
The UFC, what, top? Was he ranked number 3?
Something like that.
It's a very surprise thing for the UFC to get him. So this is not an over-the-hill fighter, despite his advanced age.
He's had some mixed results lately, though. But they're all title fights
or fights
number one contender fights.
Against, they're,
against young kids.
Championship fights, split decisions.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is a beast of a fight. And you got Rumble Johnson making his comeback. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. Rumble. The fireworks that
another
are
guy
be
who
on
was
this.
Just like randomly cut from the UFC, and we're like, what? Both these guys have passed with Scott Coker too. Both former Strikeforce guys.
Yep. Man. I'm really excited for that fight.
I am too.
It can't come soon enough for me.
Yeah. Yeah.
That is, the UFC is going to have to do something crazy to top that fight that month.
Yeah.
I mean, I
for
think
sure.
you already got to give the win to Bellator, and who's got the better card in April. We'll
March
see.
March is a banger for the UFC.
March does look nice.
March has got, you got that Izzy and Jan fight, that three fight card. And then at the end of the month,
fights,
don't you have
yeah.
fucking Stipe and Ganu at the end of the month too?
Yep.
Isn't there two pay per views in March?
There is.
It's nuts. Nuts. Nuts.
These
or is that Ngannou fight April?
No, it's in March.
It's in March, right?
Yeah, they're both in March, and they both have to be pay-per-views. So just yeah. the way the calendar works out, yeah, they got to.
Yeah. But yeah, Bellator, welcome back, motherfuckers.
Yes. Now, they've announced their tournaments and some other weight classes as well, but we're just going to focus on that one right here. That is an amazing
Well,
lineup.
Yeah, and on April 2nd, finally we get the semifinal of the featherweight tournament with Pitbull and Sanchez, number two.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know. Fucking AJ McKee has already fought twice since Pitbull's fought once.
Like, I know. It'd be good to get that finally resolved. Right. It was disappointing to see them wait so long in the year to come back, but then they come back with this announcement. And to see Romero versus Rumble.
It's going to be, yeah, it's fireworks. And both these fights are a week apart, so you got to think that both groups of guys are going to be able to turn around pretty.
Yeah, they're all going to be on track to fight the winners again in hopefully 3-4 months.
Yeah.
And the balls and the willingness of Coker to go ahead and make that fight now instead of putting them on the bracket where you hope that they wind up in the championship possibly. Mm-hmm. Thank you, sir.
Yeah, fuck. Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, and then on that side of things too, like if you look at, like, I would – really look forward to if you go both, like, because both the fights that are on the same nights, those are on the same side of the bracket, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you're gonna see Corey Anderson or the other cat take on Bader or Machida, and those are
great
fights.
Yeah.
And then on the same side, Rumble and Yoel versus either Nemkov or Phil Davis. Those are also
now, is Nemkov's
great
belt
fights.
On the line
yeah,
through this
all the
okay.
way through.
So you got Davis getting the title shot as well.
Well, Davis deserves it. That fight was close.
That's good
because
they don't always do that in tournaments like this. Yeah, so that's sure. good. His belt's on the line too. Word. So, man. So that's how come Rumble and Yoel wind up being co-main instead of main.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
See, that's another thing. He could have milked that. He could have milked that shit could've. And made sure it was a main event after that
what
main
if
event.
I mean, ultimately, he still could. So who
nice.
Knows?
So nice.
Because it's still ultimately so just dope. the tournament fights.
Yeah, we don't know the rest of these cards yet. Right?
Yeah.
Hmm. Man, Bellator coming back hard.
Yeah, for sure.
Loving it. And they're on a lot of different networks
yeah,
now,
it's
too.
Crazy.
They had these
CBS,
deals announced.
Showtime.
Where, yeah, they're
going to
be
still.
On Showtime.
Yeah.
And they're still on Paramount, as far as I know.
I think
they're
it's
still
CBS
on
to DAZN,
and they're on CBS Sports, too.
Yeah.
So they're on three, maybe four networks.
It's fucking crazy.
Good for them.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah. I just don't understand how it plays out, like how they get paid from all the different
Me
ones.
Neither. It was weird before when you could watch them on DAZN and Paramount too.
Yeah,
I was like, okay,
all right,
yeah. weird, but all right.
Yeah,
and it was weird that Paramount
was,
kept
think,
them because Paramount used to be.
I think Paramount was a tape delay though. And
was
I
Paramount
think DAZN
Spike?
Was, live.
Was that what they were?
Yeah,
yeah. And then not only did they name change, but they did a severe programming change. Like
oh,
Bellator
yeah.
fit on Spike's programming menu overall.
Yeah.
Paramount is not the same demographic
they used to
the whole rest of their
yeah.
programming. Not even close. Like, Spike was kind of a
yeah.
men's oriented show. Paramount has, like, Yellowstone,
yeah,
which
that's
is
a good
dope.
It's good
if
show.
You ain't watched that yeah. shit, man, you should fucking peep it
well,
out.
Well, now they're coming out with their own app. They got Paramount Plus.
But a lot of their shows are, it's like it's female based. they're obviously looking at the women's
Both
demographic
yeah.
with a lot of their
yeah.
stuff, which is, there's nothing, that's great. It's
yeah.
a huge demographic.
Yeah.
Majority. There's more than men at this point.
Yeah.
You should go for it. But traditionally, they're not the people watching combat sports.
Yeah.
Some
Definitely.
Are. But
well,
so
maybe
that they stayed on there so long
move.
And to begin with, it was
yeah.
kind of odd. But
yeah, true.
I wouldn't be surprised at all if they're no longer on that network. And that's not a sign of like them being cut by the for bad, you know, It's just a bad fit.
Yeah.
Is what I guess.
Doesn't fit their model.
Long-winded fucking saying here. Bad fit on Paramount.
Yeah.
That well, and watch Yellowstone.
That watch Yellowstone.
Oh, I'm going to fucking load this bowl here. Right. Hope you folks are smoking on some good weed.
Yeah, I'm going to load one too, actually.
Oh, so.
So.
Excitement from Bellator. Is there anything else going on in Bellator you want to talk about right now, my friend?
Not Bellator, but we had some news happen shortly before the show today. So we had your boy Stefan Struve finally hung him up.
Stefan Struve, UFC heavyweight.
Yep. Glad he finally did, honestly.
Me too. It was
time. It was looking up. It was kind of hard to watch for a little bit there.
Especially at heavyweight, man.
Yeah.
It's not like you're taking pitter-patter punches. And with all this talk of CTE and MMA... And in the MMA community right now, ever since the Spencer Fisher article that came out. Yeah, dude. He's got health problems anyway. I know he has a heart issue, I believe, which forced him to retire before. But then he came back, so obviously it got resolved in some way.
Yeah.
Dude, he's had a good career. You know, I feel, I'm not trying to throw shade, I feel like he could have achieved a lot more. But for whatever reason, he couldn't. Get there, so.
Yep.
I mean, very unique body. I mean, for those of you that listen and don't know who he is, he's either 6 foot 11 and a half or 7 foot tall, depending on the broadcast you're watching. Either way, it's about the same thing. Yeah. He's fucking really tall, and most of his career was pretty skinny, but he kind of filled out a lot in the later stages. And he was a guy, he came from kickboxing. He was a Dutch kickboxer, and you would have thought that. To me, he just never really learned to use that jab and his long limbs to fucking keep that shit. I'm not trying to throw shade, but I'm just saying.
I knew the jab was coming,
bro. I'm a boxer. What am I going to talk about? The jab is fundamental, my friend. It's fundamental. It's hard to have success, even in mixed martial arts, in 20 fucking 21. If you haven't got a good jab, especially if you're 7 feet tall. If you're 7 feet tall, you should fire a jab like nobody's fucking seen.
True.
They're going to be fucking doing double legs from 10 feet away, for fuck's sake. Especially if he turns sideways and steps in with it.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. Like, you're just going to be 10 feet away, and then something's going to be popping you in the fucking face, and he's going to be 10 feet away again, and you're going to be doing a double leg on air.
Yeah, true.
But he could never get it down for whatever reason.
Yeah.
But, but that's not talk about that. He made it to the UFC, dude. He beat some fucking tough dudes. Hell, he has a win over fucking Stipe Miocic,
man. He does. He does. You know? So, Struve's the greatest of all time. That's all we can say. So
Struve is the GOAT, according to the UFC. No, you know, good career. Mm-hmm. Good luck. Thanks for the entertaining fights, man. For real.
Yeah.
I always enjoyed watching that dude fight, even though I talk shit about his jab or lack thereof. Well, let's talk about boxing for a second before we shift into the upcoming UFC fight night, Paul. Now, not a lot has been going on. I mean, we did have Josh Warrington get shockingly knocked out over the past weekend, which was a big surprise.
Yep.
Shows the risks of these tune-up fights. He looked terrible, though.
He looked bad.
I mean, not only it's not like he was winning and then got suddenly KO'd out of nowhere. Like, he was getting his ass kicked and then got laid out.
Yep.
It was shocking. So, we'll see. He clearly looked off. But the other kind of news that has come out, though, that at least I find interesting and ties a little bit into MMA because of what happened with Conor McGregor, is Manny Pacquiao is now making some serious noise about a return. You know, the WBC changed his status to champion in reserve and promoted the other guy, Yoldum, or however you say his name. I apologize. Yeah. And which is basically what they do right before they strip somebody.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like their pre-strip move.
Yep. Pretty much.
Without being too disrespectful to the legend of Manny Pacquiao. But now he's talking about coming back. And we all know he was waiting for Conor McGregor. And this isn't just from the MMA people. Boxing people openly talk about this too. This is what was going to happen. But McGregor gets knocked out.
Changes the landscape.
He kind of briefly flirted with Ryan Garcia, but that didn't seem to be able to get any serious traction.
Yep.
And now he has come out and said that he would really like to fight Bud Crawford. Which... sounds great on the surface, right? That would be an awesome fight for Crawford, who has had a hard time getting fights because of where he signed and what he's got going on.
Yeah.
You know, Top Rank doesn't really have much to offer him, as we've discussed on the show before.
And they openly just, like, shit-talk him.
Yeah, I mean, Aram...
He's a prick.
Aram said shit talked him after his last win, for God's sake. I mean, it was incredible.
To his face.
Yeah, right after the broadcast.
Yeah, I mean, it was pretty fucked up.
This weed here, too. So, you know, and he's 33. And I mean, he's won, you know, weight titles in multiple classes, obviously.
Yeah.
But Pacquiao, the thing that he's come out and said, though, is that he wants $40 million and $10 million go to Crawford. Mm. And the way that, from what I understand, the way that they would have to get that kind of money these days with what's available is it'd have to come from a site fee. Mm-hmm. And normally that wouldn't be such a big deal, but we're talking about COVID right now.
Yeah.
Where I don't know if a casino is going to want to pay. Like, it doesn't have to 100% come from it, but the majority of the purse, mm-hmm. from what insiders are saying right now, would have to come from that, which would be tough in this day and age. Under current restrictions in most places. Maybe they could get that in Abu Dhabi or something.
I was just going to say, maybe if they leave the United States, which could be a possibility with who Manny's represented by. He's represented by the same people as Connor and, you know, those people.
Because that's a very tough thing. I mean, traditionally, if you're unfamiliar with what a site fee is, it's a fee that, you know, like the MGM Grand is a very, very famous boxing venue here in Vegas, right? They've hosted some big fights. They pay the boxing promotion a fee to hold the fight there versus the promotion paying them a fee to be able to rent the facility, so to speak. And that typically that money goes into like a big kitty that then the fighter purses are paid out of and other things.
Yeah.
So, and clearly for the casino, there's a lot of publicity there. It's like a giant commercial for the fucking casino. Because what do they say after the fight? Live from MGM Grand.
Yep.
Brought to you from MGM Grand. They show the goddamn cameras outside. Everything is MGM Grand. They got people coming in. Usually have a big gate.
Yep.
So they got people coming in and gambling. Their sports book sees action. It's... they make their money back in advertising dollars and casino revenue and all the associated stuff. But all of that is hampered right now.
Yeah,
you know, you got Vegas casinos. Our fucking governor just increased shit from 25% capacity to 35%, which, let's be honest, makes no dent.
But
casinos here are still closed. Palms is closed. Fucking stations are closed, a lot of them. Mm. Stuff on the casino, certain ones are only open certain days.
Yeah.
Some of them are weekend only. Mm. I was just down at the strip placing a fucking bet on that goddamn on Burns at MGM Grand on a Friday afternoon in the sports book. And it was I could have counted the people as I went through the casino, dude. I could have kept a running count of who was in the casino.
Really?
It was nuts. I felt like I was... I felt like it was a Tuesday afternoon and I was on Fremont Street about 4 years ago and like I don't know, Binion's shitty fucking slot selection where there's like six senior citizens sitting around and like some homeless people. Yeah, no joke, dude. I was shocked. So it's going to be hard to get a site fee out of these companies right now in that much money where you're going to contribute to a $50 million purse.
Unless maybe they go the route of what... they did with Earl Spence and maybe go do a stadium like
they did down in Texas,
whether it be Cowboys or the Houston Stadium. You know what I mean? Or shit, why not do it? You know,
it's your Dennis. Your Dennis Ugas is who they promoted to their
Ugas.
Their regular world champion.
Mm-hmm. He's tough as fuck too, though.
Yeah, he is. They're moving forward with an Earl Spence Jr. fight versus him. PBC set.
Oh, they are doing it.
Yeah, the PBC is working to set that up. Hopefully,
Spence probably takes care.
That's rumor mill stuff right now, but it seems pretty transparent. That's what they're hoping goes on.
Well, shit, if they could do the Ugas fight with freaking Spence and then do the Crawford and Pacquiao fight, maybe we can get these titles unified with Spence and Crawford.
Yeah, exactly. I like that fight, Crawford. Pacquiao, I'm down with it. Let's see it. Because, you know, he was holding out for that McGregor fight. That's clearly not happening.
Yeah.
The next biggest thing for him, I think, is that, right?
That would make sense, yeah.
Let's see it. He might bite off more than he can chew. Crawford might take him to school. I don't know.
I think he ultimately will.
You know, and Crawford has been, as we've discussed before as well, he clearly deserves and wants that big fight.
Yeah.
And Pacquiao would be biggest fight at welterweight that he can do. I mean.
Well, and then before, if you remember, they had Spence and Pacquiao rumored, and that fell apart too. So who knows? These boxing fights, they all seem great, but a lot of them fall apart.
Another thing that might hold this together, though, is that is a fight that both Top Rank and ESPN can come together with like they have in the past and put it on pay-per-view.
Yeah, true.
Like that could be a pay-per-view fight. Absolutely. For sure. So, and that, you know, that might
or more money for everybody. Or it could be a big ESPN Plus event.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
So, I like that news. It's a very fluid situation, and I'll just talk right now. You know what I mean?
True.
But to me, this seems like if Pacquiao is sincere about wanting this, I think it's an absolute no-brainer for Crawford. I mean, he's going to be on board, I think, for sure.
I think Crawford tool him up, honestly.
Dude, he could very well tool him up. I mean,
I think he's just too big for him.
He's big and he's tough, and Pacquiao hasn't been in there since the Thurman fight in 2019 now.
He looked good against Thurman,
and he did, but he's still a part-time boxer and full-time politician, to the best of my understanding, and 42 years old. Not to, he's still a champ and world-class. He's fucking Manny Pacquiao, but
imagine he beat Crawford.
Oh, my God.
I think Mayweather, that would kick Mayweather out of bed. I think if he beat Crawford, it would be, it would, I think he would rematch Mayweather. I think it would
that'd be sick. Sick.
That fucking Mayweather would be sick, boxing man. These YouTubers and fucking get in there with some real talent. Although he tooled up Manny the first time, I just feel like he could get him out of the YouTube game and back into the real boxing world.
Well, Pacquiao, you know, to wind this down, they said his team has given Bob Arum the numbers and a deal.
Mm-hmm.
So it's in their hands now. Pacquiao said it's totally down. So we'll see.
They should take it.
If Arum is down, as we mentioned,
yeah,
he's not a fan of fucking Crawford in some weird way.
Stupid.
I mean, he shat on him worse than Dana White shit on his fucking fighters.
Yeah, God, that was bad.
So we'll see what happens. But speaking of Dana White, let's talk about the upcoming UFC Fight Night Vegas 352 live from our home city. Well, what number is it? 18, 19, something
I'm
like that.
Sure. I just stick with UFC Fight Night.
It's just Fight Night. We've got Curtis Blaydes, Derek Lewis, heavyweight action.
Yep.
Big fight.
Mm-hmm.
No pun intended. What do you think Derek Lewis is going to look like, man? Because he's actually been putting in the
work.
Should
be interesting.
Dude, he's always been kind of a guy who jokes around that he doesn't train, even though he clearly does. But now he's like, I'm really training.
Yeah.
And I think he is.
Which one of them got COVID? Did you, Blaydes or Lewis?
Oh, I think it was Blaydes.
Was
I don't
it
think
Blaydes?
It was Lewis.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I don't know. This is going to be a real interesting fight because we've seen Blaydes against strikers before, like Alistair Overeem, and have great success. And then we've seen him fight guys like Francis Ngannou twice and struggle with the striker.
Yes.
So it really just depends on which Curtis Blaydes shows up. You know what I mean?
Like, we'd have to think that he would logically try to employ his very strong wrestling game against Derek Lewis, who has a very good ability of getting back up off the ground. I mean, he does get taken down, but a lot of times he springs back up pretty easily because he's strong as a goddamn ox. But can he do that against Curtis
Blaydes? I was
going
to say, but Blaydes is also known for just being able to completely ragdoll people and keep them from getting up, no matter how good their defense is.
Right. I'm very intrigued with this. The thing is, no matter what happens, I don't think I'll really be surprised. Like, if it comes out and Derek Lewis knocks him into next week, I'll be like, yep, that makes sense. And if they come out and, you know, Lewis or Blaydes takes him down and wins, grinds out a decision, I figure that'll make sense, too. It's an odd fight. I would never bet money on it.
That was rough.
That was a rough hit you took.
Ouch. I'm dying. That was rough.
Well, at least you're coughing out of the microphone so our listeners aren't being assaulted. You good, my friend?
Woo!
All right, word.
But, yeah. I think it could go either way also. I think if Blaydes were to come in and just take him down the whole time, wouldn't really be that surprised. But if Derek Lewis catches him, he could be in for a rude awakening.
And who knows what Derek Lewis has been working on, too.
Yeah, who knows?
I mean, he's a big, tough dude. Like, he's tough as fuck. So we'll see what happens. I'm really excited for it, though. I think it's going to be a great fight. I'm glad it's not a pay-per-view fight. I think that's one you could throw on a pay-per-view card. Maybe not as a headliner, but as a co-main, absolutely. So that's cool. We're getting it in the main event here. The rest of the card is interesting. There's other heavyweight action, and the co-main event is a What, Caitlin Vera versus... I don't know about that fight. That is what it is. Kutsukaya can be tough, but she didn't look too good last time I watched her fight. I don't know if she did in between then, but...
She's all right. I think Vieira's... Isn't she coming off that loss to Holly Holm?
As far as I know.
Yeah. I don't know. I think she probably...
I'm kind of surprised that's the co-main event. We've got Andre Arlovski facing a killer and Tom Aspinall.
That's not even...
Well.
That's the start of the main card.
Really?
Yeah.
See, I think, why don't I make it a heavyweight
feature?
Like, why don't we have a doubleheader heavyweight action? That's a good fight. I mean, maybe not for Andre, although he does tend to prove very capable against some of these up-and-comers sometimes.
Yeah.
But, dude, Aspinall's look like a fucking beast. Like, mm-hmm. I'm sold on that kid. I think he's a legit threat.
Yeah.
I think he's going to KO Arlovski as much as I like the dude. And I think he's going to come into the title picture here soon. Like, he's going to burst into the rankings here in the top 10. And we'll see what happens when he faces, you know, guys a little bit younger and better than Arlovski, who's no joke.
No joke at all, yeah.
Like, he's not done.
Uh-uh.
You know, he just stopped Tuivasa, didn't he?
No.
Did he lose to Tuivasa?
Who?
Arlovski.
He beat somebody else. I don't remember.
My point being, he's you know, he's still a very excellent fighter and a good test.
Yeah.
But I expect Aspinall to get the win here.
I do too.
Probably by a vicious KO. Then again, Arlovski keeps grinding out these decisions. I mean, that's the other thing too. He's had like 4 decisions in a row, mm-hmm. I do believe, which is in a heavyweight division, that's hard to do.
Super
at the
hard.
Upper echelon.
Yeah,
especially.
For sure.
So, and they've been a lot of strike fests too. Like, he's going 3 rounds striking with people. It's not like mm-hmm. he's taking you down and grinding
yeah,
you
true.
Out.
True.
So that's a fun fight, but not the main event, whatever. How about Jakar Close and Luis Pena?
Yeah. Is this fight at 155 pounds?
I'm pretty sure.
Because I couldn't imagine Close making 45, so.
No, I think Pena's done with that
done with 45.
Ridiculous experiment at 45, which I was never on board with.
This is...
That shit drove me nuts.
I think Close is going to whoop him. I'm sorry.
Dude, Close is tough. I'm not sold on Pena.
He had that crazy... He's coming off that loss to Beneil Dariush where he was literally a split second from winning that fight.
Mm-hmm.
So you know he's going to come out and try to make a statement.
Jakar Close is very tough.
Very tough, yeah.
I think he gets the win here, too. Decent card, though, for mm-hmm. a fight night. What number did I say? 460? Yeah. Fight Night 460 from Vegas. Which, unfortunately, kind of ties in, and we don't need to rehash it again. But I make that joke because, you know, once again, we had a UFC event that, to me, the only thing different this
names.
Time around were the names and that Joe Rogan happened to be there, and we haven't seen him for a minute.
Yeah.
But otherwise, it's the same stale event. The same production, the same music, the same noise, the announcers saying the same thing. I felt the same. Everything we talked about last week about the UFC possibly being stale, I saw repeated again this week.
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll see.
I want to bring something up.
Oh, that and the cage looked tiny.
Yeah.
I just got to say.
Yeah, it did.
That cage looked really small. Like, I'm over that cage now.
Yeah.
Like, my goodness.
Yeah.
Can we?
Yeah, I'm surprised they
have the room to put the bigger cage in there.
Well, not only that.
What are they doing?
So what's up with? I heard. I don't know if this is on some Twitter shit that I saw, but I saw that they were gonna try out having a small group of fans in that UFC fucking Apex, which I think would just change everything for that. Like, just a little bit of crowd noise is all
it makes a massive difference.
Yeah, for sure.
The novelty is completely worn off. I'm not going to say much else about it, of the no crowd thing. And it's, you need, there's a reason they have crowds at fights, for goodness sakes.
Yeah, true.
I hope it comes back soon with the UFC. We'll see. You know, I don't know. But I hope something changes as far as that. I'm interested to see what Bellator comes back with, though.
Yeah, me too. That should be interesting.
Regardless of a crowd, I mean, they've always do a little, way more on the intros and things. Whether or not you think it's cheesy, whatever, they do a lot more on intros than the UFC does. And having been kind of starved of all of that stuff in that action, they might come back with a bang. Who knows? We'll see.
Yeah.
Exciting stuff, though, ahead. I think that wraps our show.
Yep. I think that does it for today.
Thanks for tuning in, everybody. Hope you've been smoking some good weed throughout this, just like we have. You can find our podcast everywhere you get podcasts from. Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, everywhere in between. We got video stick up on YouTube if video is your thing. And we've got all that info together on the World Wide Web at
swatandmay.com, where you can head over there, click a gear button, you know, buy a t-shirt, support the podcast. And, yeah.
We'll see you next week, everybody.
Peace.